A story for the Feast of Pentecost. I was cold and frightened. To be fair, the weather was unseasonably chilly for April in Jerusalem. The sky was leaden and it was raining. Again, to be fair, I wasn't the only one who was frightened. We all were. Many weeks had passed since those fateful few days which had seen Jesus hailed as a king and then condemned to death as a criminal. Though the authorities seemed to have moved on to new concerns, we felt sure they were still watching us, which was one of the reasons we were still all together in that room. It's true that we had seen him. We'd heard him speak, shared food with him. Thomas had even touched him. But we were still grieving and confused. Things were different now. Seeing his resurrection body was incredible. But it wasn't the same as chatting with him, listening to him tell stories and then explain them. He was our leader. We went where he went. Since resurrection, he now just comes and goes randomly and mysteriously. Sadly, we didn't understand a lot of what he said when he was alive. It isn't all that surprising that we don't understand what his resurrection means or what we're supposed to be doing now. There was talk about us going back to our old lives. After our adventure with him, which was astonishing, disturbing, and exhausting, the idea of stepping back into our old, familiar, predictable routines seemed very attractive. But something kept us huddled together in Jerusalem. It was only at the time of the great Jewish festival of Pentecost that something happened. A light was turned on. Our fear and hesitancy was blown away. In the midst of the great storm that raged that day, we knew a kind of peace, and we began to understand what we had to do. Pentecost, a festival that follows 7 weeks after Passover, is all about celebrating God's provision. It's a time of thanksgiving for the harvest, which sustains our bodies, and thanksgiving for the law, which sustains our lives, our families, and our society. Jerusalem is always busy for these great festivals, as everyone gravitates to the temple. People make long and treacherous pilgrimages to Jerusalem from many different lands. Remembering what happened at Passover and knowing how unpredictable crowds were, we didn't join them. We stayed together in our room, talking and praying together. It was still fairly early in the morning when it happened, or at least when it began to happen. It's hard to explain. We were talking and praying together. As usual, we were feeling downhearted. We'd seen him recently, but when he left us the last time, it felt as though we wouldn't see him again. The last thing he had said was that we would receive some power from the Holy Spirit. At first, that felt good, and we were upbeat. We always felt good when we'd seen him. But as time passed after seeing him, our mood would always begin to darken. It struck me that as a group, we were like that man Jesus healed by the pool of Siloam, the one who'd been lame for nearly 40 years. At first, when Jesus healed him, he was ecstatic. He'd wanted to walk for so long, and now he could. Jesus told him to take up his bed and walk, and that's exactly what he did. He was amazed. Everyone who witnessed his healing was amazed. But we saw him the same day, later, at the temple. His mood had changed. He still had his bedding rolled up as if ready for a journey, but he was sitting on a wall in the shade outside the temple, simply looking lost. He'd received the great gift of healing, but he didn't know what to do with it. Where was he to go? What was he to do? He'd lived the same way all his adult life, and now everything had changed, and he was bewildered. Yes, he could walk, and that was fantastic. But he had no idea where to walk to. We were like that man now. We'd received the great gift of seeing Jesus alive, and we had been promised another gift. All of that felt great, but we didn't know what it meant or what we were to do next. So, there we were, early in the morning, in that room, bewildered, talking and praying together as we had been for weeks. Then, very slowly, the mood began to shift. We understood that we were not going to see Jesus anymore. Then someone said, "It's strange, when we're together, it feels like Jesus is still with us, though we can't see him." We all agreed. That was one of the reasons we were still together. The sense of him still being with us was greater when we were together. Then Thomas said, "It feels like he's with us, but he has no body, no arms or legs, no ears and eyes." His voice trailed off sadly. "Maybe we need to be his body now, his arms and legs, his ears and eyes." Peter said this as a kind of wistful joke. But I think that is when the mood began to shift slightly. There was silence, and then our conversation continued as we talked about simply carrying on everything he used to do, the way he used to do it. Maybe we could become teachers and healers. Maybe we should be searching out the poor and the forgotten. It was as if our imaginations had been ignited. Questions and ideas began to burst from us. The gloom and the bewilderment were being blown away. Then someone said, "He used to have only one body, one pair of arms and legs, one pair of ears and eyes. Now he has many, many more." We all laughed. He used to be able to be only in one place at a time. Now he will be able to be in loads of places at the same time. We all cheered. We were making a lot of noise. That was when a crowd began to gather outside. Not only had our gloom and bewilderment been blown away, but so had our fear. As we saw the crowd gather outside, wondering what we were doing, someone said, "Jesus loved a party. Let's invite them in." Fear forgotten. We unlocked the door and the strangers began to pour in. We didn't know them. They didn't know us. And they didn't even know each other. But none of that mattered. It was like a party. Jerusalem was full of people for the festival, people from all over, and we welcomed them all. The noise became even louder. The new arrivals were asking questions, and we were telling the story of Jesus. People had come from many countries and spoke many different languages, but we all seemed to be getting on. In those days, most people who came to Jerusalem spoke Aramaic and Greek, as well as their own native language, so we managed to communicate fairly well. As the noise, energy, and excitement continued to increase, some people began to speak a language no one had heard before. There were no recognizable words and no discernible meaning. It seemed like the language of joy. Maybe it was what the angels speak. Many of us were caught up in this joyous, prayerful exchange, while others just watched and listened. "Where's the wine?" one of our welcome gatecrashers asked me over the din. I looked at him, momentarily confused. It seems he really thought he'd come to a normal party and that the noise and the excitement were generated by alcohol. He thought the joy we were all experiencing was caused by us all being drunk. "There's no wine," I shouted. "We're just happy because we now know what we're to do." I had to repeat what I said because he either didn't hear me or understand what I was saying. when he finally realized that he was witnessing genuine joy and not alcohol-induced joy, he turned for the door and left. Eventually, the noise level began to drop, and a kind of calm descended on our impromptu gathering. There had been parties before, and it was when things calmed down that Jesus often began to speak. That was when he told many of his greatest stories. For a moment, the thought flashed across my mind that what had just happened was a kind of idealistic dream, and that we were about to wake up to the reality of a directionless life without Jesus once again. Then Peter stood up and began to speak, and we all listened. He spoke about Jesus and the Spirit that was filling us. He spoke about the Old Testament prophecies that were coming true. He spoke with confidence about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Gone was the bumbling Peter who got things wrong, the Peter who tried to walk on water and sank, the Peter who denied being a friend of Jesus. Here was Peter, the fisherman, articulate, wise, and speaking with authority, just like Jesus. This was no idealistic dream. This was real. After a normal party with wine, people fall asleep as the room spins. After the party, the last thing we wanted to do was to sleep. And the room wasn't spinning, it was still and calm. For the first time since he died, we know what we're doing. We're going to embody Jesus. And we know where we're going. We're going out into the world to tell the story of Jesus, to heal and to forgive. We're going out into the world to be Jesus and to make God's kingdom come.